Lord Vader? Do you wanna kill some rebels? Come on, let's go and play. We never get to any more. Let's win this war before they get away. We used to blast whole planets, but now we don't. I wish you would tell me why. Do you wanna kill some rebels? I really, really hate those rebels.
Go away.
I hope they die.
Initialize sequence.
Check out my podcast on SoundCloud. It's sick. It's sick, sick. All right. And I'm sorry we destroyed your city.
Jarvis, drop my needle.
The Force with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi.
That's a fake laugh.
It's real!
You are not a Jedi.
Hello, hello, campers. It's time for another. Oh, shit. I never really screwed this up. Just looking at you, I'm like, damn it.
Just looking at me? You've been hanging out in my house all fucking day. You slept in the car, but, you know, other than that, you've been here.
Hey, I had to stay out of your house for some time just because of the pets, but
yeah.
I looked at you and all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck was I saying?
I don't know. Maybe we need a divider between us.
Maybe, or something like that. Jesus. Well, we're here for another good episode on the Imperial Jamboree. Across from me is the greatest man that ever lived.
Counselor Jack Lambert.
Yes.
And with me, as always, is... Oh, shit, you got it queued up.
On. Wow. Yeah, I'm on it.
I didn't play mine. That would have been awkward, because it would have sounded like this.
Butter nugget. I don't hear it.
Yeah, I don't hear it either. Would you kill my shit? Nugget,
it's me. Oh, there it is. There.
It's the Butter Nugget theme song in the round. Like, row, row, row your boat. Row, row, row your boat.
Exactly. Get two more, and there you got yourself a quartet.
Mmm. Barbershop.
Yes, good old Butter Nugget, or a.k.a. Mitch. So we have a fun episode. We did a lot of cool stuff this weekend. We didn't do much in the last 2 weeks before it.
No. I sang karaoke, and we would have had a clip of that, but the file was too big to email from my wife's phone, so...
Oh, bummer.
Too bad. You'll never know how good or how bad of a singer I actually am.
Well, you know what? Someday we'll do some kind of live podcast from Rising Star. How about that?
Should do a live podcast from somewhere. All the lesbians we could talk to.
Oh. Hold on. I have something for that.
No!
I say that with love and affection because there were... Somewhere is a local dive bar across the street from Legoland, Florida, and... There were just a lot of lesbians in there that night. I mean, no offense to them. They were just stating facts.
Yeah. Okay.
And we bring the show to a stop.
Yes. Some good singers and then some really bad ones. But luckily our wonderful table kept the mood up.
What I lack in singing ability, I make up in entertainment value.
Yes, you do.
That's right. I'm like Britney Spears. She's not the best singer, but she's a hell of a show person.
Exactly.
That's right.
So, and you shocked a lot of people because you were singing and barely looking at the screen at all.
I'm just full of useless knowledge and lyrics, apparently.
Oh, that's good. So other than this last weekend that we hung out together, we got to see some stuff. Did you do anything else happening? For you?
For me?
Yeah.
No. Who's texting you? Come on now.
It's not Texas Family Guy.
Oh, fuck them. They can hang out in Quahog without you.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, I did nothing. I got a promotion at work, which is good. So been stupid busy doing that. So this weekend was very well deserved. I got a little drunk, and then Sunday before the show we're getting ready to talk about, I went and some friends from Virginia were in town, so we went to their resort to hang out with them, and I just floated around the fucking Lazy River. I had to pay $9 for a raft.
Oh,
so I paid $9 for this raft and just floated around this Lazy River. So
yeah, but you know what? You're not paying for the hotel room.
It's true.
So
I didn't have to do that. Well, neither are they. It's like their uncle's timeshare or something. So
that's a nice system to use. Yeah, I had a good time too because I got to drink a little bit and get a nice buzz. Which, if you know me, I don't drink a lot, and it only takes one or two to get me loose and talking a lot.
Yeah, this is the most I've ever seen Mitch drink, like, consecutive days. We were picking on him last night that he was on day two of a 7-day bender, but he hasn't had nothing to drink tonight, so I guess he fizzled out at day three.
Yeah. So, last night, the 19th. Oh, happy 420 day, by the way.
Yeah, right? Too bad we can't smoke, but I'll smoke cigarettes, you know. Yes. But I have some friends that definitely celebrate 420. So
I bet you
happy
do.
420, folks, if you are 420 friendly out there.
And they're probably all playing Call of Duty and shooting each other up.
Probably.
But, last night, Kevin Smith came into town, and he got to do a live broadcast, or not a live broadcast, a recording of their newest podcast that he's doing. It's called White Bride, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And basically, it's Kevin Smith and Brian Johnson. And just those two. And just chilling back like me and Jack do. You know, we try to tell stories if we have anything of interest. But
right. So I intentionally didn't talk to you after the show yesterday, Mitch, because I wanted all this to come out on the podcast. I did text and say, did you like it? And you told me, yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
I did talk to my former co-host Tom Principato a little bit about it because he went with us as well. But so tell me, what'd you think now that you have been to a live recording of a podcast? Do you think ours can get any better? Now that you've seen professionals do it, can we make that happen?
I don't know what was professional with that
and with that intro. Well, we'll get into that. The club was not professional last
yes.
night. The host and the presentation, everything was strictly professional.
Yes,
but anyway, with the opening that you did, I seem to think that nothing rubbed off on you last night. We've only been doing this for almost 2 years now, a year and a half-ish, and you can't get the fucking beginning right.
I don't improv well, I guess. Ugh. No, I think we can. I'll put it this way. Brian is like me, but months more,
funny.
Much. thanks, but much more advanced. He's a lot more comfortable on stage and people.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with people and definitely be on stage. You know, it takes a while for me to get used to it, and then I get in a role. Especially if I'm interested in it, then I really get rolling with it.
Well, after my karaoke performance the other night, we all know I'm comfortable in front of anybody, so let's just throw that out there. I do not mind making an ass of myself because I'm like, these fuckers are never going to see me again. And then I got a nice story. They're like, hey, remember when that straight guy was singing Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy? And he put the mic in a lesbian's face for her to say Ride a Cowboy part? That was awesome.
Yeah, but you know, it is a neighborhood bar. You may
I
see
didn't
them.
Realize. The funny thing is when I was singing, I was so in the moment that I totally didn't realize that that table was just full of lesbians. When I was like, here, say Ride a Cowboy.
Mm. Hey, one could play that way.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
But, no, I personally think that we definitely can get to that point. I think we need more stories.
I think, right. I was just going to say, I think here's the difference. The difference is I've always wanted this and our previous show to be conversational.
Yeah.
We do have topics, but, you know, and I think that the shows where we have set topics are kind of not really bland. I don't think any of our shows are boring, and Obviously, you guys don't either because you keep listening to them. But I don't. They're just kind of bland, and you know, we're already rehashing stuff that people have already said or that you can read, and just putting our own spin on it. What I think we need to do, and what sets them apart from us, is that I've known you for 3.5 years.
Yeah,
they've known each other for 20 plus years. So yeah. Let's say, for example, my best friend from high school, he does live down here now. If he was sitting here, we would have stories like that.
Exactly.
Whereas you and I, we have 3.5 years of backstory, and we hang out a lot outside of work, but most of the stories that we do have are work related.
Yes.
So they're funny to us. They're funny to maybe a handful of people that listen to the show, but are they gonna carry out to the mainstream audience that finds Imperial Jamboree and says, oh, that's a Star Wars podcast, which hold on to your hats, kids, because I think this is the most Star Wars we're going to talk in one episode once we get out of this. So,
yeah. And
that's what I think. I mean, we have stories, but are they good enough, like, to throw out there? I think we still need topics, but we also need to be way more conversational, which is what I like to do at the beginning of the show. Obviously, if you've ever listened to this, we talk about what we've done, and then we get into the topics. It's what I like to call, when we write the little script or the outline, and we're going to do the host banter.
Yes.
And I think we're okay at that, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that Mitch and I would think is funny, especially from work, but then if I were listening to a podcast from your work, it may be an insurance company or something, and I'll fucking do insurance. I don't know. So there's nothing relatable, really, unless other, like I said, a handful of people that listen to our show that work in the entertainment industry as well. I mean, they'd get it and they think it's humorous, but
that's how I kind of feel with Kevin Smith's podcast, because most of this podcast that you've listened to it for a while, you know what they're talking about.
Right.
But this Why Bri podcast was actually, I think, more entertaining because it was more just stories about their past and, or things that they've done.
Right.
And you don't need to know the history.
Yeah, and I really liked the show last night. I've seen Kevin 4 times now.
Mm-hmm.
Once was a Q&A, and then I saw him again at a Q&A for Star Wars Celebration when it was here in Orlando a couple of years ago. And I really enjoyed that show, too, but he talked Star Wars the whole time. So that was good. And then a couple months ago, we talked about it on the show. I went by myself and saw Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and that was good because I had never seen Jay with him before. But Jay's kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
What Jay is what Jason Mewes is. So once you get past the sex and the dick jokes and everything else, it's like, dude, it's funny, but, you know, you really need to come up with something else. And I find myself, when I listen to Jay and Silent Bob Get Old on my personal time, I can turn the show off. But sitting there in the audience and paying the 40 or 50 bucks, whatever it was, I would go, fuck you guys, and get up and leave. You know, I sat through the whole thing, and it just got grating. Now, this show, I really enjoyed, AV problems aside.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get into that. So what would you say was the highlight of the night? Because for me, I enjoyed everything that he was saying and the storylines, but until we got to the end of the night, the Q&A was just off.
Yeah, the Q&A always goes off track, and I don't listen to Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and apparently the people that were asking questions do listen to that particular podcast. I'm not a huge... I love Brian Johnson. Like, he's my favorite of the personalities on Comic Book Men when I watch that show. And then I think you might have went a year or so at Tampa Bay Comic Con. They were supposed to be there, and we sat through the beginning of a podcast with Mike Zapsik, Ming Chen, and Brian didn't show up. So the joke was he was in the bathroom or whatever. But so we got up and left because Zapsik and Ming were just boring.
Yeah.
And they were talking to like these random cosplay burlesque My Little Pony people. And it was just it was weird. And you could tell Ming was like in love with the My Little Pony girl. So because Brian wasn't there, we left that. So when this came up, and Tom, I was planning on going anyway. Like I said, last time I went by myself, but Tom actually sent me a Facebook message wondering, did I want to go? And then with Mitch being my best good friend here in Florida, I thought that he'd enjoy it. And, you know, being a podcaster, he was trying to get us to go to another live podcast taping of a local Orlando podcast.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. apparently they got a big following because it was sold out. So then once I found out Kevin was coming back, especially with Brian Johnson, I was totally on board for it. So.
Yeah, for a minute I wasn't going to go. I was just going to pass it off. But then I was like, "Oh, it's only $30." And
that's another reason why we don't have stories. Mitch passes shit off. Like, dude, you want to go? Oh no, I just like we were supposed to go to the Bacon Festival last weekend, and we had this shit all set up, all planned. It was Bacon Festival or MegaCon. We were gonna do either one. And, you know, we've done the convention thing. We love it. We like seeing cosplayers and things, but they're the same. Unless you go to a convention outside of the state where it's like different vendors and different people and everything, you find that as you do the convention circuit, especially here in Central Florida, you see the same people.
Yeah.
Which is great because I've been able to make some friends, but, you know, I want to do the same thing over and over and over again. That's not me. So, but the thing was, it was going to rain. So if it was going to rain, we were going to ditch the Bacon Festival. My wife and daughter, my daughter had dance pictures, so they were taken care of. So I was like, okay, if we don't go to the Bacon Festival, they can take their dance pictures, and then me and Mitch would go to MegaCon. So we got this whole thing worked out. And this fucker decides he's going to go to JCPenney's instead to go buy some goddamn pants or something. So, like, I woke up and I told my wife, I said, text Mitch, see if he's gone. So she calls him, and he's like, he's going to Penny's, but he wants us to call him back. So then I get in the shower, I get ready to go, and I call him back, or I text him, and he's like, no, I'm at fucking Penny's. So this is why, over 3.5 years, we don't have any stories, other than Mitch seeing like a dickhead, because we make plans, and he just fucking dips because his twat's on fire or something.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, I had to get some clothes for work. Sorry.
But we had this plan, Mitch.
And my plan was just to go get some replacement pants for that I needed and make it back in time. And then when you called back, because I didn't expect you to call back in like within a half hour. So I expected that, you know.
Yeah, let's preface this by saying I worked overnight because we had our 5K race at work. So I was at work from like 2:30 Friday until 6 o'clock in the morning Saturday. So Saturday was the day we were going to go. I came home, I laid down. Said wife and daughter did their dance pictures, and when they came home, they woke me up. So I was only going off about 4 or 5 hours of sleep. So, and if there's one thing Mitch knows, he knows my fucked up sleep schedule. But continue.
Yeah. So, you know, I just figured, oh, you know what, I'll quickly just go take care of this, and then, you know, and maybe I'll be done in time that I can make.
But you live 20 minutes from fucking JCPenney's. You're like now, where we live in Winter Haven, we're 45 minutes from Orlando, 45 minutes from Tampa. We are very center. Mitch has moved, and now he's like 20 minutes from Winter Haven and 20 minutes from fucking JCPenney's. He is right center of the shopping center and my house. So he could have made one trip or the other, and I lost to getting clothes for work.
I'm sorry. You didn't even go anyways.
No, I know. We ended up going to another thing called Winging It, which it was good. It's a local like wing competition type deal, I guess. It was okay. It was just fucking hot. Number one, it's Florida. Number two, it was held at an airport, and there was no shade anywhere, and it was just brutal. Like, we didn't even want to eat to try the vendors. It was that hot. So, I guess Mitch came out on top. Go, Mitch. But, you know, it was still, we still went and did something that you could have went and done with us. And then we'd have stories for the podcast.
Yes, us either eating lots of bacon or passing out from heat exhaustion.
What's wrong with eating lots of bacon?
I don't know, I'm
just
not.
That's a great idea.
I'm not a big bacon fan.
Well, I would have used your sample tickets.
I bet you would.
I would have.
So, yeah, sorry, I'm the Ming, apparently.
Yeah, I can see that. So what was your favorite?
I
enjoyed the whole show. I mean, I guess I really didn't answer your question because I got off on a tangent. I did enjoy the whole show. Like I said, it was the best Kevin Smith's podcast that I've seen. So
I think the main story was probably my favorite part. I mean, just even the visuals, even though they were almost an hour late.
Yeah. So if you're an AV tech in Orlando, the Orlando Improv might be looking for a new either a new AV tech or a AV tech based off of the show last night. You get all geeky about this shit. You want to tell them about it?
Oh, this is just some ridiculous shit, too. It's like they start their show with their normal promo ad that they play and stuff. Everything seems fine, you know, and everyone comes out. Everything's good. But then it comes to the part where I guess it was discussed before.
Yeah,
show.
It totally sounded like it was prearranged. Like they had told the club on their rider or whatever, or maybe just a phone call, hey, we want to do this. And the way the story came across from Kevin's perspective was the club said okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And the moment came up where they wanted to use the visual and get the PowerPoint all up, and nothing was happening. No. And they weren't even responding. Like, they were shouting. Like, it's like, can we get something? Anything. I mean, even the
Anyone?
Screen?
Yeah, at one point, Kevin said, do you guys want to come sit on stage, and I'll go run the board? And let me tell you something. When your talent tells you that, especially an A-lister like Kevin Smith, your club is probably in trouble. Yeah. Or somebody is in trouble.
Yeah. If I was the manager of that place, I would have been all up whoever was supposed to be running that. So.
Yeah, there was a blonde chick in like a business suit running around. I noticed her once they finally did get the screen up. Like they finally got the whole bit to work like 5 minutes before the show was over.
Yeah.
So, and it was a 2-hour show. It was a nice length show. It wasn't like an hour or 45 minutes or whatever. It was 2 hours. So they had, and they wanted to do this gag like maybe 20 minutes in. So it took them like an hour and 40 minutes to finally figure out how to do the AV portion.
Yeah, and then they had to throw a little twist on them. It's like, oh, hey, we got this video. Can we get this video up too?
Right. So anyway, there was a blonde lady, and I saw her like walking in front of the table when they finally did get the AV piece working. But then I also saw her outside by the merch table. So she might have been like Kevin's assistant or something.
Maybe.
But I thought at first when I saw her walking that she was like the club manager or something like that. Because she was definitely in a business suit. She wasn't, you know, like a guest or anything like that. And Kevin's assistant was actually on Comic Book Men, so I know what she looks like. But this lady, I got the feeling that she was part of the club.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then they had audio issues, which they did last time, too. When I went to see Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, once they finally posted the episode, it was all crackly and nasty, and they, like, put up a disclaimer that the audio issues seemed to resolve itself halfway through. And it wasn't so much with Kevin's mic, it was with Jay's mic, and he was every time he talked. So.
And I noticed Bri's mic was cutting in and out if he was holding it the wrong way.
Yeah. So then they said, well, we can't hear him. And mind you, we were literally two tables house right of the stage.
Yeah, we have pictures.
Tom put a picture up. I'll put it on our Facebook, too. We were close. We were like, it was like Kevin, Brian, two people, and then me and Mitch. So we were literally the second table over. So we were close. And I'm not the best hearing person ever because I do pyro and listen to heavy metal. So I was having a problem hearing Brian. Well, then Kevin was like, hey, can we turn him up? Because I'm sitting right next to him. I can't hear him. So then that was another AV debacle.
Oh.
So once they finally did turn his fucking shit up, then the room started ringing and it had feedback and everything else. And it got so bad that some random person, and it wasn't Mitch, it was some other random person that obviously knows his way around a soundboard, yelled out, turn down the high treble gain. And then Kevin was like, listen to that guy. So whoever this AV person was should be embarrassed and fired.
Yeah, and you know what? It was all just because of the monitors. What we were hearing at our seats, because we were pretty much behind to the side of them, was their monitors. And that was where all the ringing was coming from. It was ridiculous. I was like, oh, I don't think you need the monitors to be that loud.
Yeah, because they were hearing it. We were hearing it where we were seated. But then Brian said, do I sound too hot to people now? And the people in like the back of the club were like, no, because they could hear him, but they couldn't hear the ring of the monitors that we and the talent were hearing.
Yeah.
So it was miserable for a little bit there. And I put on my personal Facebook that, you know, we went to the show, had a great time, but last time I went, Kevin Smith comes to Orlando a lot because his mom lives here. And he told that story last time he was here. So basically, he's in town. He's going to see mom, visit mom, and he's going to do a show because mom's elderly and goes to sleep at night. So he books these shows, and he's always doing it at the Improv. And they sell out. Our show was sold out. Our show was the first. They did a few in, like, West Palm and a few other places in Florida. But the Orlando show was the first one to sell out of the Wybri podcast.
I think Fort Lauderdale was the second to sell out.
Right. So we sell out that venue, we being Orlando.
Yes.
So Kevin Smith didn't announce when he was going to be back like he did last time. But I put on my personal Facebook, if it's not the Orlando Improv, I wouldn't be surprised. Because there's plenty of venues he can book. And I'm sure some of them are even larger. That he could draw a big crowd to.
The dude could probably get the like a quarter of the convention center filled if he wanted to.
When we were at, you know, Star Wars Celebration is a cop out, but when we were at Star Wars Celebration, it was like maybe 2,000 people there. It was the big auditorium in the convention center.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he could just pick up a theater and be good. So, but I was underwhelmed by that venue. I was expecting for Orlando to be, you know, a top notch improv comedy place. I've been to the one in Anaheim. It looks great. It's awesome. And this one just looked dated and old. I was like, why? Why do people come here?
It's on par with the it's in Point Orlando. I guess no one goes there. It's on par with the club I went to in Virginia. And then I went to one in New York City. If you've ever been to New York City, there's comedians or ticket brokers or whoever for every club. And they're trying to sell tickets throughout the day there on Broadway. And we did one because it was like $5 with a 2-drink minimum. So we went. And it was comparable to the one in Orlando. So
interesting.
You must have just went to a very nice improv.
Well, it is Anaheim. So they're kind of, well, poor Orlando's on the Richie side
fucking
too.
Fucking California.
Yeah. Well, we like our entertainment. We're Hollywood out there.
All right. We've babbled on about this long enough. Yeah. When the episode post that we went to... I'll link it to our Facebook if you're interested in hearing the Wybri that we went to, and you know.
So one of the things that Kevin Smith talked about was, and it's something that came out basically to kick off the weekend for Celebration, was the new trailer for Episode 7.
Stand by, people.
Yes.
Don't cry. You can make it through.
Be careful. Some of us, you know, would go nuts for this.
I notice something every time I watch that.
What?
But here's what I just noticed listening to it with headphones for the first time. When Luke is doing the Force is Strong in My Family thing, uh-huh. There's another voice behind his. It's not quite a whisper. It's not quite like a Vader voice, but he says it. And then a second afterwards, there's like a, I have it. So that was pretty cool. That was interesting. First time I noticed that.
Yeah, I just heard that too. And I was like, I thought it was like an echo or a reverb, but you're
no,
right.
No, because it stopped.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, Chewie, we're home. We're home. No, it was very intentional. So good on you, sound guy. You should go work at the Orlando Improv because I just noticed that. All right. Well, before I tackle the 400-pound elephant in the room and just shoot every fanboy's hopes and dreams in the ass and hopefully get some hate mail about this trailer, what do you think about it?
Well, it makes it more interesting compared to the first two that came out. First one. I was thinking of a different trailer. So it made it more interesting. I liked how it looked more in the style of episodes 4, 5, and 6. And I didn't get the big, just blow out, go nuts with the end with Han and Chewie. But I did like seeing them as a last moment item.
Yeah, I think that was the main thing. That was just because they haven't shown anybody from original trilogy yet. I mean, even in this one, until you get to Han, you see what could be Luke's hand. Because it doesn't really make sense to me that it's not that it is Luke's hand touching R2. Because why did he get rid of the skin? Or why is he not wearing the glove that he wears in Return of the Jedi? He's got on a black glove, so it's just... That's a whole nother tangent, but you don't see Leia, you don't see anybody. In the original trailer, you didn't see anybody. So, with Han there, who's this breakout character of the Star Wars saga, especially for people my age, everybody wanted to play Han. Fuck Luke, he's cool and everything, but I want to be Han. He gets the girls and whatever. So to see him, and he's the first now link between original trilogy and this new Episode 7 and beyond, that I think people just got excited.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't do anything to make him more age-appropriate. They left him old.
He's just old. Yeah. He's an old dude. He's in his 70s. I think he's 73. Harrison Ford's old.
Yeah, but you figured if they're going to make him old, why couldn't they make Chewie a little bit older?
Right, because when I first watched the trailer, I was totally focused on Han. I was like, he's talking. This is pretty cool. But then I went and watched it again, and to see if they did age Chewie, like, give him Chewie. I just hit puberty. Chewie. Give him, like, a gray streak or something. Yeah. But they didn't do anything. He actually looks younger.
Yes.
He looks more like the Episode 4 Chewie than, like, the Return of the Jedi Chewie.
Yeah, it's like he went to the dry cleaning and came back.
Yeah, right?
Probably did.
All right, so here's what I think of the trailer. I will preface this long dissertation by saying I am still more excited for Age of Ultron than I am for Episode 7. And here's why. The trailer was cool. I don't like that they showed Vader as a skeleton. To me, what I think everybody else, I haven't read it or heard it on any other podcast, but I think what everybody is missing with that shot of Vader is that's JJ's and Disney's way of saying that old trilogy is dead. This is something completely new. Here's your fucking skull of Vader. You can fanboy out over it, but in subtext in my mind, that was them saying new story. Everything before this is literally dead. Because why would they go out of their way to show Vader where he's half skull? And then none of this makes sense, because how did the half-skull get there? Did fucking Luke dig it out of the funeral pyre after they burned up Anakin's body? I mean, so it's definitely, to me, like a symbol of, a lot of people say the prequels killed their childhood. Uh-huh. I think that image is killing your childhood.
I don't see it as a half-skull. It's not like Terminator half-skull. I see it as just
It's Anakin's skull. Like, it's half there, you're right, it melted, but then underneath, it's Anakin's skull there. If you go back or look at the still, it's totally a skull.
I mean, at that point, his hand may be another throwback of he's not the Luke he used to be or was.
Well, remember the rumors a while ago that the whole movie was going to be about Luke's hand. Like, they fucking find it and shit. So I hope that's not true. Maybe that was a little clever thing that they were trying to do by not showing Luke's hand, but whatever. So the reason I brought up that point about killing my childhood is because I am ridiculously excited about this movie.
Yeah.
What intrigues me was the very first shot of the downed Star Destroyer.
Uh-huh.
And now they've said it's not Tatooine. It's some other desert planet like Jakar or something. Maybe I forgot exactly what it is. But I like that because with the practical effects with the miniatures, you knew the ship was big.
Yeah.
But they couldn't like do a convincing miniature crashed into a planet. It would look dumb. You'd point it out as a miniature. So to see the grandness and the scope of how big that thing really is.
And it's well done too, right. Where it looks like it's much farther in the distance and it's still big.
Right. And then to have the shot a little bit later in the trailer where the Falcon flies into like the engine part of a crashed, I don't know if it's a Star Destroyer, but it's definitely a crashed Imperial ship.
Yeah.
And the Falcon is so small because when I was a kid, you know, the Falcon's big, Falcon's fucking huge. And then it goes up against the Star Destroyer and it still looks kind of big. So now, you know, I get that might have been my childlike wonder, but now we see how small it actually is compared to one of these.
Which I think is either wrong or they're just ignoring 4, 5, and 6. Because if you think about it, in the original series, when they are docked against the side of one of the Star Destroyers,
it looks pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you go back to Episode 4 and when, oh, that's the Death Star. They're being sucked into the Death Star by the tractor beam. Never mind. It's late. I'm tired. So I keep going back to this death thing and I like the newness. I don't really feel like they introduced anything with the new characters. We still know the black stormtrooper guy. His name escapes me right now. It's like Jet or something like that. Jin, some type of J letter. They showed us Han. You know, we get random X-Wing pilot again, which we kind of saw in the first trailer too, the teaser trailer. So here's why I'm not ridiculously excited for it. Transport yourself with me, if you will, in the Wayback Machine to 1999 when the Phantom Menace trailer came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge. Everybody loved it. They were going to see like the movie because back then the easiness of the internet wasn't around, so you had to like go to a movie that you didn't really want to fucking see to see a trailer. So people were buying like a $7-$8 ticket to go to not even see this movie, just to see the first glimpse of Phantom Menace and leave. And then people were online, and there's a whole movie that I know every one of our listeners has probably seen, if not has at least heard of, called Fanboys, where the whole point of the movie was they're trying to get into Skywalker Ranch to see Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
So this type of hysteria has happened before, and I don't want to be everybody's downer, but when Phantom Menace came out, all that excitement of the trailer looks badass, everything's cool, just got sucked out of the room because the movie was shit. And I'm a Phantom Menace defender.
Yeah.
I do enjoy Phantom Menace. There are pieces of it that are absolute steaming piles of shit. But as on the whole, I like the movie and I like where it fits into the Star Wars saga.
I enjoy it until the kid talks.
Yeah. Anakin is bad. Jake Lloyd is terrible. So that is one part where it's a big steaming pile of shit. But that's, you know, that's George Lucas's fault. So, yes, I am apprehensive. I've lived through Empire coming out. I was one when Episode 4 came out, so I don't remember. But I lived through when Empire came out. I fucking was there in a realm of consciousness when Return of the Jedi came out. I remember seeing the trailers. I remember the hysteria. I remember going opening weekend. Fast forward again to 1999, from 1983 to 1999, I was there. I was at the midnight show. I wasn't one of those fuckers that waited in line for days, but I was at the midnight show. I was there. I was pumped. I was everything. And then I made it through 2 and 3. So this to me is nothing new. And to a lot of older fans as well, I don't think it's anything new. I don't want to say we're jumping the gun. I do have faith in JJ and that this movie will be good, but there's just that part of me that's very apprehensive about it.
Well, if you look at last night, all the ones that were going nuts and crazy about it were in their, you know, early 20s. Mm-hmm. And
they don't have anything. They don't have a point of reference.
Yeah.
They don't have an original trilogy reference. They were too young when the prequels came out to have a prequel reference. Because after Phantom Menace, I mean, sure, people were excited about 2 and 3, but it wasn't the hysteria that Phantom Menace was.
Yeah.
It wasn't like mainstream. They're talking about it on the Today Show. You know, they're showing people in costume lined up for like 60 days or something ridiculous before this movie opens. So we're back to that now.
It's almost the same thing because, you know, the originals came out and no one believed it until they saw it.
Right.
Then many years passed by, and then they came out with the prequels, and everyone was going nuts because it's like, oh, my God, they're actually going to continue.
Right, they're
going
to do this because we've heard about it forever. I mean, George Lucas was running his mouth back in the early 80s that there's more to this story. And, yeah. You know, then the Expanded Universe came out. It wasn't called the Expanded Universe right off the bat, but the Heir to the Empire books came out, and then that was like the 7, 8, 9 trilogy, and now of course Disney said, fuck you, that shit doesn't exist anymore, uh-huh. We're doing our own. So you can still read those books if you want to understand where we were back in the 90s. Like when we found out about Phantom Menace and these books are coming out and everything else. Which brings me to my final point about the trailer. As much as I love Star Wars, love it, love everything about it, I'm sitting here in a Stormtrooper t-shirt, you know, look around the campfire here, the room that we record in, and there's Star Wars stuff everywhere. But to me, Star Wars is a place in time that takes me back to my childhood. It takes me back to 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm a big fan of the movie. It makes me feel good. And no matter what happens, no matter where Episode 7 goes, whether it's the greatest movie ever or it's worse than Phantom Menace, you will never be able to duplicate the feeling that I get when I think of Star Wars. Star Wars is a place in my heart that only exists with inside me because it's memories. It's mm-hmm. good times about my childhood. It's everything else. So will I go see Episode 7? Absolutely. Will I love Episode 7? I hope so. Will it make me feel like the original trilogy? No.
No.
There is no way it can feel like, you know, when Return of the Jedi came out. And my mom at the time was in college. She had me when she was young. So she'd set aside time on the weekends to take me to do something. So she'd spend time with me. And 9 weeks in a row, we went to the movies and saw Return of the Jedi. So that's where I'm at. I mean, I hope I like the movie. I'm sure I will. But you can't duplicate it. And I think that's what a lot of people want. And I think that was the letdown of Phantom Menace. People see this movie now. They're in their late 20s. And they're like, fuck this movie. And the reason I say I'm a Phantom Menace defender is I asked some friends. I was like, if you saw this movie when you were 8, you thought it was awesome. But now you see it, you're 28, and it doesn't live up to what your 28-year-old mind wants it to be.
Yes.
Where it's not made for your 28-year-old mind. It's made for the 8-year-old kid that's going to think Jar Jar Binks is hilarious when he steps in poo. Or he's going to think, you know, he's going to think that Darth Maul with the dual lightsaber and everything, that's badass. That's the best thing I've ever seen. Just like we did when we were 8, when fucking Luke's riding a Tauntaun. It's like, holy shit, there's a two-legged creature that doesn't exist. Or, you know, Darth Yoda dying, it was something that was traumatic to some of us because, you know, when you're little, you don't really watch a whole lot of movies where people die or die of natural causes, I should say. You watch a lot of shit where people die.
Well,
but to actually, like, die of this is, like, mind-blowing stuff to an 8-year-old because, you know, at that time, you're aware that sooner or later you're going to die, your parents are going to die, your grandparents may already be dying. But here it is on the screen, and this character that you love from Empire just fucking dies and leaves Luke on his own. And, you know, that's what happens in life. Your parents die and you're on your own. You got to figure shit out.
If I remember correctly, though, you didn't know Yoda died until sometime later.
That's a story for another day. So, yeah, it's true. I have a joke with my mom. When we did go to see it 9 weeks in a row, you know, the boring part was, hey, Yoda's going to die. So that's the part to take an 8-year-old boy to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and I peed and we came back and I sat down. She patted me on my widow head and gave me my popcorn. And, you know, then it went on. So I have a joke with her that I didn't know Yoda died until I was well into my adulthood. But that's not necessarily true, Mitch.
Yeah, I just remember you saying something before. So I think, yes, it's a lot of hype going on because it's the beginning of another chapter of the Star Wars world. And it's probably going to be like the prequels where it's going to get all big and hype. And and then people be like, this is not what I was thinking.
It's, and I'm telling you, it's never, I've said this before on this show, it's never going to live up to your expectation.
Yes.
Your child, expectation is so high.
Your child memories are going to be much different compared to what you want to see now.
Right. And we're leaning on one guy right now. Well, three people, the screenwriters and J.J. Abrams. We're leaning on three individuals in this massive fandom of Star Wars, literally millions of people, probably billions of people, but literally a lot. And we're leaning on three guys to have the imagination for a bunch of us to sit in the theater and go, that's fucking it. like they're doing with the trailer right now. There are people literally crying at this trailer. Like they're so excited about it. And I get it. I mean, it's like when you watch old movies of the Beatles and the girls are in the front row and they're crying because they're so excited to see the Beatles. So that's where we're at, because as you touched on, it's definitely a callback to the old original trilogy. But so is Rebels. And we all know how much I hate Rebels. I wanted to love Rebels. The trailers were awesome. It's like, this is fucking Star Wars. There's a TIE fighter. There's John Williams' score. It's not prequel era. And it sucks. I hate to tell you, but it's not good.
So, Abrams was born in 66.
So he's definitely, he's definitely within the age range. He probably saw episode 4 in theaters. That was actually the first, I think one of the first movies my parents left me with a babysitter so they could go see. So I was definitely one because I was born in 76. Yeah, I have faith in JJ. I really do, but I am more excited for Age of Ultron right now than I am for Star Wars. And it's not because Age of Ultron opens in like 2 weeks or whatever it is. It's because with Avengers and the Marvel movies, they speak to where I'm at in my life now. So those movies didn't come out when I was a child. Those movies came out when I was in my late 20s, like the first Iron Man, in my late 20s. And so I've grown into from a young man into kind of a middle-aged man with these movies, and they're great. I love them. They make me feel good. The political stuff about them, you know, is something that I'm interested in now as an adult. Yeah. The war stuff, like Tony Stark and the terrorist and everything, that's something that's very real in this world right now with the threat of ISIS and all this other stuff. So I'm interested in that. It's like, holy shit, this whole Five Rings things could actually be a thing if they wanted to. And look, Tony Stark's in a cave in Afghanistan and he's like fighting terrorists and shit. So it's very much where I'm at now. Had the Avengers come out in 83, and now they're doing Avengers Age of Ultron in 2015, we're talking Star Wars all over again.
Yeah.
But the Marvel movies are where I'm at now. I love those movies as an adult. To me, the original trilogy of Star Wars and almost all of the Marvel movies are infallible. They're perfect. They can't get any better. But it's because of where I am in life. So that's why I'm more excited for Age of Ultron than I am for episode 7.
I'm probably just
some deep shit coming out of this episode.
I'm even on both. We're going to see both, but I'm not putting any high expectations, or I'm not expecting anything low either. They're going to do what they're supposed to do.
See, I have ridiculously high expectations for Avengers, so I hope I'm not let down. And the reason I have high expectations for Avengers is since Iron Man 3, the trend of these Marvel movies is that they keep getting better and better and better and better. Like Iron Man 3 is still my all-time favorite. But then Thor 2 came out and it was great. And then Captain America came out, which I didn't love when I first saw it.
Yeah.
But now that I've revisited it on Blu-ray a bunch of times, I really enjoy it. And I totally see its place within the universe. Take all the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. shit out of it, and it's still a great standalone movie.
Yeah.
So, Cap 2 is great. So, you know, with these things building, and Avengers was so good that they've got a lot to top. And my expectation is up here. Like, I went and bought two Age of Ultron t-shirts last weekend. I bought two Star Wars t-shirts and two Age of Ultron t-shirts. Not Episode 7 shirts, mind you. One is the one I'm wearing right now that has a Stormtrooper on it with an Imperial logo. And then the other one is original trilogy cast and like the little cutesy style, whatever they call that. So I can tell you, I'm not going to buy any Episode 7 shit because I did that when Phantom Menace came out. I'm like going to Toys R Us and I'm like buying shit. And then I had it. And I'm like, fuck this. This is a terrible movie. Why did I waste all that money on this? So until I see Episode 7, I'm going to stick to what I know and buy the original trilogy Vader Stormtrooper stuff. But Age of Ultron, I'm all about it. I'm already buying T-shirts. I'm like, fuck it, this is going to be awesome. And so my expectation is up here.
And that's my kind of worry with the future of Marvel because, I mean, they're going to keep building it and making it better. There's going to be a point where it's got to go downhill. And I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but they haven't done it yet.
No,
and seeing
yet.
The trailer for Ant-Man, I don't think Ant-Man's going to do it either. It, like the first trailer, I was kind of, man, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good because it's Marvel. But the new trailer is really good.
I'm just hoping that it doesn't happen during Guardians of the Galaxy because even though it's Marvel, it's a different side of Marvel.
Yeah, I don't think it will. And Guardians has to build up the whole Thanos storyline for Avengers 3. So, and Civil War is going to be fucking amazing. Anything with Iron Man in it is fucking amazing. But Civil War is going to be good. I have ridiculous high hopes for Ultron. And you know what? It's not like Star Wars. It's not like I have this whole thing in my head and I've been reading stuff in the EU and I've had comics. Well, I've got comics for Avengers too. But I had comics. I have all this. It's just that I want to go in there and I want to be fucking entertained. And the way these trailers have come out, like the first couple of Ultron trailers have been dark and, you know, the whole there are no strings on me shit and stuff.
Yeah.
But now they're back to being fun. Like the trailers are jokey and it looks more
stark.
Like a, right. It looks more like a Marvel movie. So I'm really excited.
Yeah. Another thing that we're probably going to have to look into that we've both fallen out of is the Rebels. So this weekend celebration, debuted the season 2 trailer for that, and I'm going to play a little snippet of that for everyone to hear.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. But back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
We rob from the Empire, give to the needy. A noble cause.
Yeah.
I'm on my mark.
Gotcha.
Mission accomplished.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish.
Fighter, coming in at Mark 3.
We've lost Phoenix 1 and 2.
We will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors.
For the good of Lothal, we have to leave.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight. We can't just run.
Ezra, we were lucky to survive. The fear, the anger, the hate. I haven't sensed a presence like that since
the Clone Wars.
That's just a part of it. I mean, this trailer is 3.5 minutes long.
You didn't play the important part that was coming up next. So
I gotta leave a little fish dangling.
We have talked and talked and talked about Rebels until we're blue in the face. I don't like it. Counselor Ryan don't like it. Mitch has fallen out of it. Did we talk to Matt about it? I don't think we did.
I don't think so.
But, and one thing that I've said all along is no one, or me, I won't say no one anymore because it did get picked up for a second season and apparently the celebration crowd liked this stuff. So I don't care about the characters. I don't care about Kanan. I don't care about Ezra. I don't care. All of them fuckers could die tomorrow and I don't care.
Yeah.
Apparently I'm not alone because here they are bringing Ahsoka back. Here they are bringing in fucking Darth Vader
yep.
to bring in these identifiable characters because either The fans like me don't care. I cannot be the only person out there that feels this way. I can't. Or the mainstream people don't really understand that it's Star Wars without some identifiable icon.
Mm-hmm.
Clone Wars had that advantage. It was Anakin. It was Obi-Wan. It was all of these characters that you already know, not only from the prequels, but from the original trilogy. You know who these people are. So immediately you had a rallying point and an identifiable group of heroes. With Rebels, you had fuck all. You had a book that I read the first couple chapters of, and it wasn't terrible, but you're asking a lot of people to do a backstory for characters that no one cares about and continue to not care about.
I think what they're probably going to do, or what's eventually going to happen, it's going to turn into Clone Wars, but the tables are turned.
Right. So the part that Mitch cut, right at the part that he cut it, Captain Rex comes back from Clone Wars. And he looks like fucking Mr. Clean because he's bald head. He's got a long white beard. He's older, obviously. It's well known that I have a Captain Rex tattoo on my leg. I like the character. I like the clone side more than I do that specific character. I do like Rex as a character. But we all know that I love stormtroopers. Clones became stormtroopers. At least that's what we've been told. But then in this Rebels trailer, Rex makes a joke about we're better than those so-called stormtroopers or something like that. So are we past
the
Jango Fett strain? Does the Jango Fett strain not exist anymore? Are we just fucking enlisting stormtroopers? So, like, that's all EU stuff.
I thought that was all kind of already because in the first season, they tell you or they show you all the they're putting people are coming in and they're going through ranks like the army.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. I forgot about that. They do show that. There's a whole episode about the kids being trained and Ezra sneaking in.
Yeah.
So I forgot about that. But still, the clones eventually went on to become stormtroopers, and that's always how it's going to be. Fuck you, Disney. So that's a reason why I have a Captain Rex tattoo. Plus, he's cool. I like him. So now I kind of been baited into watching season 2. But it's kind of like I was baited into watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It got good, you know, when Cap 2 came out and everything, Winter Soldier, and it tied in and everything was great. The finale was good. But then I watched the first two episodes of season 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I just didn't care anymore. I'm like, here we are again.
I still don't. I see the trailers I've going, who the hell is this person?
Yeah, I've seen none. And on I cable cut a while ago, as we talked about last episode, and on Hulu, they don't have the entire season for some reason. It's only like the newest 4 episodes. So there's no way I can go back and watch until it comes out on Blu-ray and or Netflix. But I don't even know if I'm going to. So I'm kind of living in the same place with Rebels. Like when season 2 comes out, I'm going to give it a curiosity type of what are they going to do with Rex? How are they going to tie Vader in this? You know, because we had a bad guy, but the fucking Inquisitor, gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to have a big bad.
Well, you can't have two, you know, dark side of the Force people's working side by side.
And who the fuck cares about Kallus? I mean, his name is fucking Kallus. Who cares? So that's where I'm at with Rebels. I'm on the fence. One thing I'm excited about, though, with Rebels, though, is to see how, since we didn't get to go to Celebration, to see how the fandom accepts it at Star Wars weekends at Disney World. Because I do know there's going to be a big Rebels push at Disney World, much more so than there was last year.
Yeah,
because
last year it hasn't even come out yet, and they were trying to get people to
like
the
characters. Right, they had Chopper, which is cool. It's always cool to see a droid. They had a Ezra character. Did they have a Hera character?
Yes, voice actor comes.
Right, so they were trying to do it, but it hadn't even debuted yet, so no one cared. So I'm curious to see the switch this year, if there is one.
The interesting thing is the Star Wars weekends this year, I mean, they do have like what they were doing last year, where it was one Rebel character interview or something like that, but it's still the same. Like they're not like doubling them up this year.
Yeah, but when I was talking character, I was talking more about photo op actor character.
They're definitely going to double those up for sure.
Yeah, because in the parade, they had Chopper. And they definitely had Ezra. I can't remember. I think they had one of the female characters too. But again, I didn't care, and I don't care now. And they definitely had a few of the voice actors from Rebels last year. So it's going to be interesting now that Rebels is established and we're through its first season and Celebration was out in Anaheim this year, how the East Coast fandom of Star Wars is going to accept Rebels on Star Wars weekends.
I would love to see BB-8 make a guest appearance.
I've heard rumors that it's going to happen, so I mean, we'll see.
Maybe when James Arnold Taylor's show or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard rumors that it's going to happen. So.
Yeah, because I looked at that YouTube video when he comes out a little bit with him and R2-D2.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, how does that happen?
Yeah, it's like a whole proprietary thing.
Yeah.
Tom started to tell us about it last night after Kevin Smith, but then we started talking about something else. So maybe we can – he definitely wants to podcast with us again, so maybe we can get him on and he can share his – all-knowing Disney knowledge of how Bob Iger discovered the guy who made the new droid.
Technology, yeah. Yep. So, last thing with Star Wars, and I think we're going to call it night. I'm not going to play this. They call it a trailer. It's more. I see it more as a teaser of the Star Wars game Battlefront.
Yeah, we'll keep this really short and sweet. It's coming out. I'm excited for it because it's original trilogy again. You can play as either the Rebels or the Imperials, and of course I'm going to play as Imperials. Hello, the show is called Imperial Jamboree. So, yeah, it looks great, and this is a reboot again of an older game, and the older game was just okay. I mean, let's be honest, traditionally Star Wars games are not very good. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to get it and probably definitely spend hours of my time playing it.
Yeah. I was never a fan of playing the Jedi versions of those games. I could never get a handle of it, but this being looking like you're actually on the Rebels or the Imperials, you're being a stormtrooper or you're a Rebel.
Right. Power of the Force. I called it that the other day. Force Unleashed. Power of the Force was action figures. Force Unleashed was okay. But traditionally, Force Unleashed 1. But traditionally, all those games are not very good.
Yeah.
So we're excited. It comes out in November. I'm sure in November, once we play it and I get it on day one, then we'll tell you how
they
it really is.
They are aiming for the Christmas market, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like November 18th or something that comes out.
Sounds about right.
Cool. Take us home, Mitch.
All right, campers. I'm going to give out the little media outlets since I do a great job at them. All right, you can reach us at facebook.com/Imperial Jamboree. We also put on podcasts at Imperial or Podomatic with imperialjamboree.podomatic.com. We also post on Stitcher and iTunes, and we can Twitter with us at Twitter @Imperial_Jam. Now back to the greatest man that ever lived, Jack Lambert.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. So we were going to talk about the other big trailers that popped out here recently. Jurassic Park dropped another trailer. The Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman or the fuck it's called came out. Daredevil is now season one on Netflix. If you haven't binge watched that yet, neither have I. So these are all homework assignments that we have before our next episode. We did have stuff prepared for Batman and Jurassic Park.
We definitely got deep into the Star Wars
discussion. Yeah, there's your Star Wars episode, boys and girls. And whenever somebody's like, oh, you're a Star Wars podcast, I was like, well, we are, but we talk about lots of other stuff too. So this was your Star Wars Imperial Jamboree podcast. There you go. First one ever, right. I think.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. I missed my chance.
No, soundboard fail. Oh. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing some homework. I am actually going to be in beautiful downtown Petersburg, Virginia this weekend. I'm going home, quote unquote, home for the NASCAR race. So maybe I'll catch up on some stuff on the plane or
take
something.
Take me home.
I didn't know you had that in you, Mitch. You're a bass, huh?
Hey, I did some voiceover works for work.
Mitch is all about that bass, about that bass. So, yes. Yeah, so we'll probably record next week, but it'll be late. But look for us to talk about other new movies other than Star Wars, because that's where we're living. And I definitely hope to catch up on at least the first episode of Daredevil.
Yes.
So I'm still plowing through Giggity Breaking Bad. I'm almost to season 5, so I'm almost to the last season, and I'm still loving it.
That's good.
Like, I really wish I didn't watch the first season because it's shite. the rest of it is really good. But the first season, like, you know how some people say, oh, just stick with a show, it'll get better. Just fucking skip the whole first season of Breaking Bad. Like, go to Wikipedia, read what it's about, and that's all you need to know.
You know they're going to recap it anyways during season two.
Yeah, it's crap. But seasons two and three and now four have been really, really good. Like, there hasn't been a lull in it at all. So, yeah, I'm still enjoying it. I'm kind of sad that it's going to end soon. Since I'm late to the party and everybody else already knows how it ends. And they're like, fucking, this happens. I don't want to know. Spoiler free.
I'm still enjoying Once Upon a Time right now.
Yeah, I need to get back to that.
They've been throwing a lot of twists and interesting things into the season, so.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check that out sooner or later. My wife wants to go back to watching it, so.
Well, now you got Hulu. You can watch it whenever
you
want.
Yeah, we can watch it whenever.
So.
All right.
All right. Good night, folks.
Deuces.